A few days ago, we read, I think it was last weekend, we read 2 Timothy chapter 4, and verse 8 tells us, "There's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me on that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing." We all know, as a matter of fact, that the Bible plainly speaks to us about the return of our Lord to the earth. But how do we really respond to that information? Is it something that we seek above everything else, or do we secretly hope that it doesn't come just yet? You know, that he allows us a little longer to enjoy the pleasures of this life and the fulfillment of desires of the flesh and of the mind. Doubts will almost certainly arise in the minds of all people. But the faithful are those whose disposition towards our Master's return is that of love. And the day being the great climax in everything in our life, with not one tinge of regret. So my consideration this morning will be to look at some of the passages of Scripture that reveal the possible mindset of some of the faithful towards the appearing of our Lord from heaven. So, brothers and sisters, what is our attitude to that information? We know that it is what is required of us, but do we walk towards the kingdom in hope and with a sure confidence? We read in Acts chapter 24, verse 24 and 25, "And after some days, when Felix came with his wife Priscilla, who was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith of Christ. Now, as he reasoned about righteousness and self-control and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid. And he answered, 'Go away for now, for when I have a convenient time, I will call for you.'" In other words, what he was telling Paul was, "Not today, Paul. Maybe tomorrow." Many people have put off making a positive decision to follow Christ until tomorrow. Here we have a Roman governor making such a big mistake. And like many others, he may have discovered that tomorrow may just be too late. Not today. Maybe tomorrow. Unfortunately, his convenient time, his tomorrow, never arrived. There is no record that Felix ever called on Paul again, or that he made things right with the Lord. And Matthew chapter 23, verse 37 says, "How often would I have gathered our chickens together, even as a hen gathers her chicks under her wing, and you would not." In other words, not today. Maybe tomorrow. Or Matthew chapter 23, verse 38 says, "Your house is left unto you desolate." And John chapter 4, verse 35 says, "Say not that there are 4 months, and then comes the harvest. I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the field, for they are white, ready for the harvest." Not today. Maybe tomorrow. And Jeremiah, verse 8, verse 20 says, "And the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved." Brothers and sisters, we have heard the glorious message of God's love towards us and how our Lord has laid down his life for us. But for some reason, some are waiting for a more convenient time. Perhaps We realize that our Master's patient is patiently waiting for us with his arms wide open. But we would not. But in reality, the harvest is almost here. Or perhaps we are like thousands of others who say, not today, maybe tomorrow. But may I be so bold as to ask, if not today, then when? Proverbs 27 tells us, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And what if tomorrow never comes? Please, let's not make the same mistake that Felix made. Let's not make the same mistake that thousands have made throughout the course of history. 2 Corinthians 6 verse 2 says, for he says, I have heard thee in time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Or do we prefer to drink of the cup of the world? Let's eat and drink and be merry, for tomorrow we die. That's the way of the flesh. To indulge in sin to the full, convincing ourselves that our Master is coming. His coming is some way off. Plenty of time to repent later. Not today. Maybe tomorrow. A similar spirit is displayed in Proverbs chapter 7, verses 11 to 14. She's loud and stubborn, and her feet abide not in her own house. Now she is without, now in the street, and lies in wait at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said to him, I have peace offering with me. This day I have paid my vows. Not being content to remain in her own house, the harlot desires to ensnare the simple. Those who are wandering aimlessly in the street, using the sacrificial language of the truth. She has a veneer of righteousness, a form of godliness, yet by her word she denies the power thereof. Her desires to take her full fill of sin until the Master comes, at some far off time, at some point into the future. This is her doctrine. Come and let us take our fill of love until the morning. For the good man is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He has taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. Not today. Maybe tomorrow. And having gone on a long journey means that it will be some time before he returns. More time to enjoy the fruit of sinful union with the harlot. There is, of course, an element of truth mixed with error in the harlot's speech. The good man has indeed gone on a long journey. As our Master taught, travelled into a far country. But he will come back at the appointed time to discover how his servants have occupied their time in his absence. And across the spectrum, there will be those who have faithfully sought to multiply the talents given to them. And there will be those who did nothing, merely digging a hole in the ground and hiding their talent. Not today. Maybe tomorrow. And excuses will abound as to why increase was yielded by the wicked and slothful servant. Why no increase, sorry. The truth was, however, that the servant was slothful. Not necessarily given over to sin, but certainly making no effort to further the cause of the truth and yield increase to the Master. So are we missing opportunity to support the work of the truth, preferring to do our own thing? This aspect of slothfulness comes out again in the Master's parable of the 10 virgins in Matthew chapter 25. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 of them were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. We know the outcome of that parable. Those that had made the effort to carry oil with them, to keep their lights glowing, were found shining with the light of truth when the Master came. But those who did not found that their lights quickly went out, and whilst they made a belated attempt to get more oil, they were shut out of the kingdom. So, what is my exhortation? Well, my exhortation is that today is the day of opportunity. Today is the day, is the time that matters most in our life. For what we do today, that shall affect our eternal destiny. Not tomorrow, today. If we as children of the light are found bearing light when the Master comes, we shall be accepted. But if we are found walking in darkness, fraternizing with a drunken harlot who persecuted the brethren, both Christ's brethren and ours, then surely we cannot expect to be rewarded. And considering these testimonies, it's evident that acceptance before the Master depends entirely upon our preparation. We must prepare to take all with us. We must occupy our time doing things that further our Master's cause. We must shine forth with the gospel light in both word and deed, that in the day of visitation, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Master to the glory of the Father. Not tomorrow, but today. We have considered in general terms the things which we must do in order to meet our Lord when he comes and be approved by him. But there's another side to this matter, which is that we can delude ourselves into thinking that we will be approved by him, when in fact he will condemn us and we will be found wanting. That was the situation in Israel of old. As they faced the day of the coming judgment, they expected to see a day of brightness and blessedness and of glory. But instead, there came the terrible judgment inflicted upon them by the Babylonian hordes under the leadership of Nebuchadnezzar, God's servant. So the warning came through Amos. Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it to you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. Israel assumed that their Messiah was coming to redeem them, and so they delighted in him and expected to be elevated to honor, as all the prophets had indicated. The same principle is true for us. It is written in 1 Peter chapter 4. Judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begins with us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Those who are considered to be righteous are those who love the appearing of our Messiah, who obey the call of the gospel to repentance and patient with patience and continuous and good works. not tomorrow, today. And as we consider the fact of Messiah's coming again to the earth, we ought to be encouraged to consider our walk in the truth, knowing that we shall be called upon to give an account of ourselves to the Son of Man. But we can also take comfort knowing that whatever difficulties or tribulations we might experience, our Master was touched with our infirmities and will forgive those who repent before him. We recognize the return of our Master to the earth, but do we look at the fact with love and longing for his coming? True, the Master will come to purge his house first. Prior to the establishment of righteousness in the earth. Let us therefore look forward in hope and repentance, seeking to lay aside every weight and sin that so easily does beset us. That when our Master comes, he will find us seeking first his coming and his kingdom and his righteousness. And let us therefore make sure, brothers and sisters, that we do this today and not tomorrow.